Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today on the show, revisiting preseason predictions. How right was I back in mid-October when I made five relatively bold predictions about the Timberwolves season? A couple of individual predictions, a couple of team predictions. I'll give you a hint. My success rate was actually pretty good. Four out of five on those. Let's dive into them and see just how correct they were and where I missed by just a little bit. We're going to do all that today on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome into the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beek and I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Tuesday, everybody. The second day of the Timberwolves offseason. Today on the show, I want to revisit some of the predictions from before the season. I did a full couple of shows back in October about predictions, just overall predictions for the season. I want to revisit those because there's actually some pretty interesting ones there. I want to close the show with a little bit more D'Angelo Russell talk. There was a national report regarding the Timberwolves' willingness, perhaps desire even, to trade D'Angelo Russell this offseason. So I want to touch on that a little bit here at the end of the show as well. But we'll start with revisiting some of those predictions here on the show today. First of all, though, a quick thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. A reminder that Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. Whichever you like to listen to podcasts on, you can find us Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T Wolves and also at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C K E N. All right, so back in mid-October, just prior to the start of the regular season, I did a pair of prediction shows. One was October 19th, part one, part two is October 20th. I'm going to go through the first set of predictions today, and I'll tell you right now, I did pretty good. I don't spend a lot of time going back and tooting my own horn on this podcast, but I'll talk about the one that I got dreadfully wrong as well, but did pretty good on these predictions. And then probably Wednesday's show, we'll go back and look at part two. Part two has to do with the Timberwolves' final record, playoff seeding, overall NBA over-unders. I think I picked a few different other NBA over-unders and just kind of gave my thoughts on that. So we'll revisit that. I don't think I did quite as good there overall, but my Timberwolves record prediction wasn't bad. So we'll do that tomorrow. Today, though, let's talk about the lineups, really kind of more about the defense, the three-point shooting predictions that I made, and evaluate also the one that I missed pretty badly. So I'll just go in order the way of how I listed them on the podcast. And if you want to go back and listen to it, again, this is going back to October 19th was my first part of the predictions for this season. So it's out there. The receipts are there. If you want to go back and listen, I promise it's all there. My first prediction on that particular episode was that Karl Anthony Towns would be on one of the All-NBA teams. We technically don't know the answer to this yet, but it seems very likely he'll make All-NBA, almost certainly third team. The part that I missed slightly was I said that Karl Anthony Towns, I said he would make All-NBA, and I said really by the Wolves improving and him playing a full season, there's almost no way he wouldn't, which is basically what happened. A lot of people nationally started to assume Anthony Edwards was the Wolves' best player. If you watch the Wolves every day, you know that Towns is the best all-around Timberwolves player still, but obviously Edwards is much improved. But I say that only because all he needed to do was the Wolves needed to improve and Towns needed to stay healthy, and he was going to be an All-NBA player, and that is what happened. I did say he could have a chance at making the second team if the Timberwolves won. Here's what I said, direct quote, 45 to 47 games and made the sixth seed in the West. And then I said, yeah, that might be best case scenario. Well, that's exactly what happened. The Wolves won right in the middle, 46 regular season games. They got the seventh seed in the West in what ended up being a really weird Western Conference this year. I don't think anyone had the Lakers all the way out of the play-in. I don't think anyone had the Clippers where they ended up being. I don't know that anyone had Memphis up at the two seed. It's been a weird year in the Western Conference for sure. But my throwaway 45 to 47 wins in the sixth seed is pretty close to what actually happened. Towns won't make the second team, but he should be on the third team. So that prediction was I'm going to say 75% of the way there, because I got the All-NBA part right, and I also threw out a win total that was correct as well. I'm gonna touch on the other one now the one that I did miss completely, but then trust me, after that, there's three that I got right. I guess one's maybe a little bit ambiguous, but I'm going to say there's three that I got right that I want to hit next. The other one that the only one that I missed completely was I said that Malik Beasley would get votes for the NBA Sixth Man of the Year award. Obviously that announced, or I guess, no, that was announced. John Morant, obviously. Nope. John Morant won Most Improved Player award. I don't think the voting for Sixth Man of the Year has been announced yet, but Malik Beasley is not going to get any votes. As part of my prediction, I said I don't think he'll win the award, but he will get some votes. He's not going to get votes for Sixth Man of the Year, obviously. It was a down shooting year for him. He had a handful of great games, but I mean, the first half of the season, you can count on one hand the number of games in which Beasley actually had a positive impact on the team. He was best when he was moved into the starting lineup during the weeks when much of the team had COVID, and then a little bit after the first of the year, when Patrick Beverley was hurt for a while, you know, instances like that, Beasley was much better playing with the starting lineup than he was off the bench, or at least when he saw heavier minutes off the bench playing most of his minutes with starters. But he's not going to get Sixth Man of the Year votes. I missed that one entirely. I'll own up to that. It makes it a lot easier since I got the rest of them right, but that was a bad miss. Next, we'll talk about my Anthony Edwards prediction that I got right, my prediction about the Timberwolves defense, and also about the three-point shooting, and then kind of my wrap-up on that and you know, why it was really spot on. And obviously, it's there's a lot that could change till this offseason, but why it's really hard to make these out, you know, these kind of large grand statements that a lot of folks in the national media were making about the Timberwolves after last offseason without really understanding the players that were available throughout a season, et cetera. And all that is why I made these predictions, because the Timberwolves from 2021 to 21-22, the roster didn't change that much, but it was kind of easy to see what the trajectory of this team was going to be, at least during the regular season this year. And that's exactly what happened. So we're going to do all that here next. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at Prize Picks. NBA fans, are you looking for a daily fantasy option for the NBA? Then you need to try the award-winning app Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I absolutely love the app, and I know you will too. It's super easy to use. You just pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections. You can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. You can use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Again, this is daily fantasy made easy. It's just you versus numbers. You're not playing against, you know, professional DFS players or anything like that. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of. So if you're looking at the NBA playoffs, you want to take Steph Curry over on points scored. The best part about it is that you can actually do mixed sport entries. So you could do Steph Curry over on points scored. You could do Byron Buxton over on hits for the game that night. If you're watching the Twins game and the NBA playoffs, you got both going. You can cross sports and any sport too. I mean, when we're in football season, NFL, college football, you can do soccer, MMA, college basketball when that's in season. You can cross sports and pick overs or unders on really any prop, points scored, rebounds, steals, etc. For a limited time, Prize Picks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our listeners. Users get $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point, but you must use the code NBA. That's right. It's an exclusive offer available to Locked On listeners. Sign up today and use the code NBA, $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point. Thanks again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Make sure to go check out the Locked On NBA Big Board now that we are pretty much officially in draft season with the Wolves eliminated. Host Raphael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock drafts, player rankings, and of course, big boards. It's free and available wherever you listen to podcasts. Okay, let's move on to my next predictions. One of my other ones, and this one's a little bit more ambiguous, but I feel like the window's right there. I said that Anthony Edwards would not make an all-star team this year. I think there were some, you know, preseason, there were some predictions out there on ESPN where, I don't know, close to half the analysts thought there was a chance he'd make an all-star team or thought he would, predicted him to make an all-star team. I said he would be close. I said in the Western Conference, he'd be considered, would would fall in the 13 to 17 range. Obviously, the first 12 make the team. He's in the 13 to 17 range. And I said he'd have a shot at being an injury replacement like D'Angelo Russell was back with the Brooklyn Nets several years ago. That's exactly what happened. Ant did not get the injury replacement. There was one guy, I think it was actually, was it LaMelo? No, it was DeJounte Murray who got the injury replacement nod from the Spurs. And Ant missed out, but he was widely thought to be the next, if Chris Paul had bowed out due to his injury, they're widely thought Anthony Edwards could have been that guy. So he was basically 14th in the West. He was pretty much next in line to make the All-Star team. There was a chance he was going to make it as an injury replacement, and it just didn't happen. But I going back and listening to that, it's kind of crazy. I'd forgotten that I made that prediction that he wouldn't make an All-Star team, but he would be close. That's exactly what happened. And of course, then he had that little bit of a dip right before the All-Star break. He had the knee issue at the time. The knee issues lingered. He had an ankle issue right, the week before, leading into All-Star. And the dip continued a little bit after All-Star. And then he ramped up again in March and into April. And of course, had a fantastic playoff series, all things considered, especially game one. And a really positive end to the season. And overall, amazing growth in year two for Anthony Edwards. I'll do these predictions again before next year. But sitting here right now in the first week of May, I think it's, I wouldn't say likely, but I would put it at something close to a 50-50 chance that Ant's on an All-Star team next year. If this Wolves team keeps getting better, good teams oftentimes, they get a real shot at having two All-Stars. And Anthony Edwards is a guy that a lot of people like to watch him, right? And even though that's not how All-Star, that's not how this should be decided, I mean, it's not going to hurt that Anthony Edwards is really a fan favorite of just NBA fans in general. So I think he's got a much better shot next year. And he's going to be... We saw the growth, especially on the defensive end of the floor this year. That's only going to continue in his third season in the NBA. All right, the next one, I said the Timberwolves would finish outside the bottom 10 in defense. Again, not exactly a lofty goal or prediction, but if you consider that the Timberwolves had not finished outside the bottom 10 in defense since 2005-2006, which was Kevin Garnett's last season in Minnesota, going back to the Dwayne Casey years, they finished outside the bottom 10 twice since then. Both were Rick Adelman seasons. So two times in the last 16 seasons had the Timberwolves finished outside the bottom 10 in defense. And last year they were 25th. I predicted that they would finish outside the bottom 10 in defensive rating. And they did. According to Basketball Reference's defensive rating statistic, the Timberwolves finished 13th. They were really top 12 for most of the year. They were lingering kind of in that 8 to 12 range for most of the season and finished 13th. So I was spot on with that prediction. My thinking there, and when I elaborated on it back in October, is basically they're going to play more switchable personnel. It seemed pretty likely Chris Finch was going to play Vanderbilt more, and we knew Jaden McDaniels would play more because he wasn't in the rotation early in his rookie season. He's a good defender. So I thought and also Patrick Beverley. I talked quite a bit about how Patrick Beverley's acquisition was not being talked about enough, especially nationally. All these predictions, the Wolves will finish 11th in the West or whatever. People not considering the impact that a guy who always gets votes for Defensive Player of the Year in Patrick Beverley has been on the All-Defense first team a couple of times in his career. Like, that's going to make a big difference. Playing more versatile defenders like McDaniels and Vanderbilt are going to make a major difference. And then also the scheme, not putting Karl-Anthony Towns in a drop coverage to allow opposing guards to drop, 50 on mid-range jumpers against you every night. An exaggeration, but basically what was happening previously, the change in scheme and coaching, obviously directly tied to one another, and then also the change in personnel and minutes allocation was always going to make a big difference. So the prediction was just they wouldn't be in the bottom 10. They'd be 20 or higher. They finished 13th. That prediction was correct. My final prediction that I made on this show back in October was related to three-point shooting. I said that the Timberwolves would finish top 12 in three-point percentage league-wide, which is significant because they were 25th last year in three-point percentage as a team. I mixed those. Earlier, I said they were 25th in defense. They're actually like 28th or 27th last year. They were 25th in three-point percentage as a team in 2021. So my prediction was they'd finish top 12 in three-point percentage as a team. Where did they finish? Number 12. Exactly at number 12 in three-point shooting percentage. And they shot, 35.8% this season. They were number one in attempts per game and number three in three-point attempt rate, which was up from, number 10 last year in three-point attempt rate. So the rate of three-point attempts and the pace of play overall picked up under Finch, which everybody thought they were crazy under Ryan Saunders with the number threes they were shooting. Those numbers both jumped under Chris Finch in a full season with Chris Finch at the helm. So why did I say this would happen? Well, Karl-Anthony Towns was hurt a lot last year and also the COVID thing. D'Angelo Russell was hurt. Malik Beasley was hurt and he was suspended by the league for a while. So I said all three of those guys would play more. They're all very good three-point shooters. And I said the Timberwolves are replacing Ricky Rubio's minutes with Patrick Beverley, who's a much, much better shooter. Rubio was fifth on the team in attempts per game last year in terms of three-point shooters, or I guess in attempts for overall in the season, and he shot under 31%. So replacing his shooting with Patrick Beverley was always going to make a big difference. And then also any minutes played by Jarrett Culver, Wancho in the past were going to be replaced by basically Taurean Prince and then increase in Jaden McDaniels minutes. Obviously, Vando's not going to shoot threes, so that's not going to hurt your percentage. So my thinking was the Wolves already have a bunch of good shooters. They added a couple of plus shooters in Beverley and Prince, and they're going to play guys like Josh Okogie less because of their depth. Jalen Noel might play more. Like it just made sense to me. They'd be top 12. And then of course they go the first several months of the season. They were awful from three. They were bottom five in 3-point percentage forever, even though they were top five in attempts for the entire season, if not top three the entire season. Finally, though, the law of averages on the positive side progressed to the mean. We saw Patrick Beverley shoot the ball better after the first year. Taurean Prince was the biggest jump from miserable. He was like 20% through December, was fantastic after the first year shooting the three. We did see Josh Okogie's minutes go. He was in the rotation early in the season. He fell out completely by the time the calendar flipped. We saw D'Angelo Russell pick it up a little bit towards the end of the season. Towns was, of course, consistent throughout. And Ant's three-point shooting got better as the season went on as well. In every situation, step-backs, pull-up jumpers, as well as catch and shoot. So my prediction was right. I actually thought, I said top 12 to kind of protect myself, obviously, instead of saying top 10, and it was 12. I thought they would actually be better than that because you go back and look at the numbers, and we're going to do this as we go player by player to review the season. There's a lot of guys that just didn't have a very good year compared to what they'd done in their career. This is one of Patrick Beverley's worst long-range shooting years. Same with D'Angelo Russell. Same with Malik Beasley. These guys all are better three-point shooters than what they did this year, and yet the team was still number 12 in percentage, and that prediction was also spot on. Again, health matters a ton, and replacing minus, negative shooters like Rubio, Culver, Wancho had a down year last year. He's generally an okay shooter, but wasn't good last year. With guys that can shoot like Beverly and Prince, giving more minutes to guys that can shoot or guys that won't shoot, like, for instance, Jared Vanderbilt, is going to help your percentage as well. So that prediction was spot on. So of the five, I had Towns all NBA, check. I got a little excited and said second team, but I said he had a shot if the Wolves got the sixth seed. Yeah, they got the seven seed. So I'll count that as a correct 75% of the way correct. Towns all NBA. Beasley, six man votes, not winning six man, but getting votes. That's not going to be a win. Ant just missing all star, being in the conversation as an injury replacement. Check on that one. Out of the bottom 10 in defense, they finished 13. Check there. And then top 12 in 3-point percentage, they finished 12th. I was correct there as well. And then I also talked a little bit about the national narrative of the Wolves didn't make any changes, so therefore it'll be the same old Wolves. If you're not watching on YouTube, I'm making air quotes for this. That was the national narrative. ESPN, NBA.com, The Athletic, pick your favorite prediction or prognosticators, whoever's predicting the season. That's what everyone was saying. And I said, no, the Wolves will be better because they have young players that are improving. They have a better coach, a better coaching staff, a better approach. This was all clear before the season. If they had relative health, they'd be better. Patrick Beverley makes a big difference. Otherwise, D'Lo, Cat are good when they play together. All this ended up being true. And the Wolves didn't make any changes. Narrative was not correct. There was adding Patrick Beverley and Taurean Prince made a difference. And the guys who needed to stay healthy did. And needed to improve did in the case of Anthony Edwards and defensively Towns and defensively Russell both stepped up. This team improved this year. And I was pretty close to spot on with all those predictions. Again, part two, I want to go back through those on Wednesday for the show of my part two predictions, which included playoff seeding. It included over under on wins. It included a final win projection total for the Timberwolves that I made. So we'll look at that on Wednesday show. Next, I want to talk a little bit about D'Angelo Russell because everybody else is still talking about D'Angelo Russell. So a few more thoughts on that situation, obviously following the disappointing close to the season for D'Lo. throughout the Grizzlies series. First, though, let's talk about our friends at BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NBA playoffs and the start of the MLB season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, let's go ahead and talk about D'Angelo Russell. So D'Lo obviously had the bad close to the season. I opened the show on Monday talking about D'Angelo Russell for a while, so I gave some additional thoughts there. But I should note that the most recent, I don't know, piece of news that came out, if you want to call it news, it's more of a rumor than anything else. But Mark Stein, formerly of ESPN, he's got his own Substack page now. And there's a lot of, he's got a lot of stuff in there about his latest article about Sacramento Kings coaching search, et cetera, et cetera. But he also talked about the Timberwolves. The way he put it is that other teams, other executives think the Timberwolves will try and trade D'Angelo Russell this offseason. I said this on the show on Monday. That's true. The Timberwolves are certainly going to have those conversations. But I also said I don't think the Wolves would be able to trade him. Now, there's some discussion out there. You'll find people that think they'd be able to trade him, and they might. It may be dependent on... D'Lo is one of those players. He seems to be very polarizing. There's teams, there's executives, there's people who think he can get it done. They swear by D'Lo. And there's teams that are obviously on the flip side of that. Now, the fact that he was much improved defensively this year and committed on the defensive end and played arguably his best basketball, I've been on record as saying several times, you could argue this is his best season of his NBA career, even better than his All-Star campaign in Brooklyn. So that would be a reason the Wolves could build to help build his trade value. It's like, hey, this has been his best season. He bought in defensively. We just don't think he's a synergistic fit with Anthony Edwards, which that's the pitch I would make if I were in the Timberwolves front office and I was trying to trade D'Angelo Russell. I'd be like, hey, look, this guy committed defensively. He's in the prime of his career. He can score at the end of games if you need him to. He can compete defensively. You don't have to hide him all the time, which I guess doesn't sound super compelling. But, I mean, everyone knows he's a minus defender. But this was his best defensive season. So, like, you can build a case for him being tradable if he was making, like, $18, $20 million. But he's not. He's making $31 million. Granted, it's an expiring deal. But the trick, I think, is finding the team that has enough contracts to match up to that salary that's willing to make a trade. The Wolves then would have to take back all these contracts. They've either got to be players the Wolves can immediately get rid of or players that, but still, the Wolves would need to have, in terms of roster spaces in general, the Wolves have to make this work somehow. And they'd have to be or players the Wolves would want to keep. And as soon as you start adding players to an outgoing salary like D'Lo's, that's adding salary to the trade, right? So it's complicated to trade a max salary player. And the Wolves don't have much else in terms of trade assets that teams are going to be super. The Wolves don't want to give up a pick to trade D'Angelo Russell. I mean, they still won 46 games this year just because he had a bad playoff series. You don't give away a good player and attach a pick to a guy who's one of your best three or four players, which is exactly what they'd be doing. They're not going to do that, which is why I said the other day, on Monday, I think it's very likely that the Wolves end up keeping him throughout the season and he just leaves in free agency next summer. I think that's the most likely scenario. I don't think he gets an extension. He's obviously going to want one. I think Karl-Anthony Towns will get his supermax if and when he's on the All-NBA team. That's very likely going to happen, but I don't think the Wolves are about to offer D'Angelo Russell a maximum contract to keep him in Minnesota. I just don't think that's likely. So this report doesn't mean much to me because it's validation for what I think is pretty obvious. The Wolves, like Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, Karl-Anthony Towns, that's who the Wolves are going to build around. You've got lots of guys on reasonable contracts that are valuable contributors, Jared Vanderbilt being chief among those, but also Jordan McLaughlin, Naz Reid, Jalen Noel to a lesser extent. You've got rotation caliber guys or fringe rotation guys and very affordable contracts, starting caliber guys when it comes to Vanderbilt, Patrick Beverley on a reasonable expiring deal that they just extended him to. So there's not much else to move around with. You've got your picks. You've got Leandro Balmaro. You've got Malik Beasley has got a year plus a team option, so he could be involved in a trade, but you're not going to attach him to D'Lo and make a trade that there's $46 million in outgoing dollars. That's not going to happen either. So I don't think it's likely D'Lo's traded. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I do think it's likely the Wolves try and they may have those conversations. And of course, it'd be fascinating to find out who might be interested in, and I'm sure we'll get some rumors, which will basically probably just be the teams the Wolves have called. And then suddenly there's a rumor that such and such team is interested. I don't know if that's actually going to happen or not, but I feel like that could be the way that this goes. Okay. We'll obviously keep tabs on the dealer thing. That's the biggest offseason story, is what the Wolves are going to do with D'Angelo Russell. I do want to continue the predictions revisit on Wednesday's show, and then we will get into player reviews here soon, likely later this week. I'll spend at least a couple segments on every player, just kind of going through this, the expectations for the season, what they did this year compared to last year and compared to expectations, what to expect for them moving forward. So that's where we'll go here next, over the next several days, as we move through the first portion of the offseason and then eventually shift entirely into draft coverage. So we'll do that here next in the next few weeks. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, and thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, the show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find Locked On Wolves. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, Locked On Wolves is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Again, thanks for making us your first listen. A reminder, you can make your second listen the Locked On NBA show. From the first jump ball, the play-in tournament, to the last possession of the finals, Locked On experts take you deep inside the playoffs with insight and analysis affecting all 30 teams. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.